Hello everyone, it's time again for Heart to Heart. I thank the Lord for the progress he's making in his people. I thank the Lord for all the wisdom that he's giving his people. See, the news will never, they can't report the things of God because they don't know. They can only report the result of what we do. The enemy is trying to hide the active works of the church and the miracles of God on the earth. God is doing miracles all over the planet. And he told me this back in the 90s, that the day would come when 1,000 people would get saved every hour. And it's happening. It's just not reported. God is mightily moving by his spirit. And he's using his people uniquely. He's given his people the wisdom to reap souls for this last hour. And I thank God for it. And I know because he's been telling me what he's doing. I can believe God. If you can take him at his word, you can believe what he's saying to you. And then there'll be evidence of it. But the evidence will be among those who love God, those who are true, those who are faithful, those who are willing and obedient. Every Christian don't love God. All Christians don't share in his love. People love the way that they love. And some have walked away from their love. Some Christians won't even ask God questions and try to learn from it. And they try to stay in a safe place. They don't want the Lord to ask them to do anything. But, you know, I thank God for every soul that's saved that's going to go to heaven. That doesn't mean they're evil. Everybody's just not active in their love walk. But it's not good to walk away from it. It's better to progress forward. And some people come from a dark background. And some people come from a good background. But people run a race. If you watch any marathon race, people run at different paces. Some people they don't expect to win the race, to be the first one across the finish line. They're doing it for other reasons. Well, so it is with Christians. Some people, they want to live a good life and they want to live forever. And they know for a fact that it's in their best interest to believe on Jesus so that they can get to live forever. And as we progress in the Lord, we love more and we get more curious. We ask more questions. We get his revelation. Some people love the knowledge of God. And some people are satisfied with the peace of knowing that they're just going to live forever. I don't fault them for it. I'm not mad at them. Just the way it is. But the bigger problem is when people love the world. They're going to become the enemies of God, and we're going to show how. Now, we've been using an illustration of Saul, King Saul, and anointed King David. The way that King Saul treated David is identical to how the Pharisees and the Sadducees treated Jesus and the priest. The priests had him killed. They were in Saul's seat. They were in the seat of Moses. And they were unfaithful against the word of God. See, the word of God became flesh. And they worked evil against him. And they wanted him dead. And the people that followed him were no different. The Laodicean church becomes an enemy to the perfect will of God. And if they become an enemy to people of God, they're an enemy to Jesus. And if they're an enemy to Jesus, they're automatically an enemy to God as well. They're going to speak evil of those that do good. People that love God and go forward, they're going to speak evil of them. Now, it's no different than what Saul did against David. And the spirit of Saul is still here. See, the people died out, but the spirit of Saul is still here. The spirit of Jeroboam was judged, and his works were judged, and people had no taste for it, but the spirit of Saul is still here. Jeroboam set in motion for things to go wrong, and it went, and the people went into captivity. And the Lord knew it was going to happen. From the time that they asked him for a king, the Lord, nothing surprises God. He knew that this would be a harsh path for Israel. when they wanted a king in the first place. That was a step backwards. That was the day Israel collectively backslid, desiring a king. And the church does the same thing when they desire to be in control of their life and disregard the wisdom of God. That's a backslide. That's a backslidden condition. To go forward, you run to God's will. Lord, what do you want me to do? You get to a point where you write God a blank check. Lord, when you dedicate yourself, say, I'm going to do whatever you say. It doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is, whether I like it or not, I'm going to do what you say. When you can write God that kind of blank check, you become a greater threat to the enemy, to the world, and you're going to see what the old preacher's talking about. You won't get to see this fight sitting in the back, hiding. But it'll come to you anyway. But when you step out and you write God a blank check and you endeavor to do what I'm saying, some of the people you look up to will rise up against you. Some people will talk against you, motivated by the way by the enemy, motivated by the spirit of Saul, dispatched by Satan. See, he works where he can. So what I learned from the Lord is love everybody. Love everybody. Everybody gets the love of God from me. I sincerely love them. And what I want is to encourage people with all that is within me to love God and hate this world system. Because the world is undermining you. Even if you love this world, it will undermine you. It will cut you off. It will tempt you. It will brag on you. It will speak good of you. And it will kill you. And everything that Satan does is a working against your demise. But when you step forward in God, going forward, you'll see the handiwork of the devil trying to stop you. You're finding discouragement in places you didn't expect it. Now, I told my sister just yesterday, if you can follow God and operate in his love and not let your own family discourage you, you can do anything. See, your heart, your worst discouragement will come from those closest to you. But you got to understand that when you go forward in the Lord, every weakness in anybody will operate as an enemy against what you're doing until they grow up. But when they do it, don't get mad at them. If they can breathe air, don't get mad at them. Just tell Satan he can't use them against your purpose. They can't use you to stop what God is doing in your life. And I learned this a long time ago. It's best not to ever depend on the encouragement of anybody. Those that encourage you, thank God for them. The greatest encouragement to me is when I say something and it helps somebody live better. Because they receive the word, they believe the word, they got a closer walk with the Lord, and they're acting on it. But when people come up and say, you preach well, that's good. I like it. But I don't depend on it. I want them to use it in their life because I know what the enemy is doing against us. And then I love when people are learning from the Lord because they always learn something that I can't learn. It became a revelation to me that everybody can learn something from God that nobody else would ever learn on their own. So when people say, when I hear what people say that God taught them, it really blesses me from the core. I thank God for them. They won battles to do that. Now I'm looking at it from a minister's angle because every message that I deliver, I fought and won battles to do it. So I don't wait till I'm about to preach to begin doing warfare for what I'm doing. I protect it continually. I just say all the things of Satan, every word spoken against me, I kill it in Jesus' name. I destroy your works. And I bless everything that every message God give me. And I do my very best to speak clearly and speak exactly and precisely what God put in my heart. And I try to yield to him. If he changed the format on me, I don't mind. I welcome it. Because the heart of God is what makes us strong. I'm doing the easy part of the yoke. See, I'm yoked together with Jesus. I'm doing my part. He's doing the heavy lifting. He said, my yoke is easy. We yoked to Jesus, just like two ox yoked together. They got that big piece of wood across their shoulders to pull a load, and it's chained to a load. Well, what we're pulling is the will of God. I'm doing my easy part. Jesus is doing the heavy lifting. He's doing the hard pull. He's tussling harder than I am. It's easy to me. And he's stronger than me. So it's easy to him too. But he's doing what I can't. I'm doing what he can't. You get that? He's doing what I can't. I'm doing what he can't. Why? Because the Christians on the earth are the only ones in all of God's creation that can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to do it. I can get the gospel where he can't get the gospel. Now, I've said before that the Lord has appeared to Muslims in various places. People that are sincere, they want to know God for real. And Jesus have been appearing to Muslims in all the countries where Christianity can't get to. The Lord had to do this because people are not going. And they kill Christians there. So the Lord doing because of the limitations of Christians in other places, he get it over there through media, through TV, radio, internet. Through this website, we get to preach all over the world. And places where it can't get, in people's prayer room, the Lord have appeared to people, giving them dreams to save them and their family. Then when they get strong, then they can do what he did for them. It's happening all over the world because he's about to come back. And he's got to get people saved because he doesn't want them to go through the upcoming tribulation. Now the Laodicean church loved the world. They have a reputation of loving God, but they truly love the world. And that's why they become an enemy. And that's why they begin to act like the Pharisees. And that's why they begin to act like Saul. Now, in the previous chapters in 1 Samuel, we made it to chapter 31. We're about to begin 31. But we saw King Saul praying and prophesying to David. I mean, he was prophesying that, and asking David to not kill his people when he becomes king. See, he was still anointed, and he still did the work of a prophet, but he was in a backslidden condition. I'm showing you that people can be anointed and backslidden at the same time, and they can operate in the anointing, but until they repent, they can still be in a backslidden condition and they can still work mischief. They can still work evil. And they can still go to hell. Once God anoints you, you're anointed. But don't go to hell acting like King Saul. Did Saul go to hell? I'm not sure what he... He probably did. But I don't know for certain. I know he worked enough, you know... I don't know how God judged that rascal. But he died for seeking a witch. We're going to get to that. Now, the Lord loves everybody. It's not God's will for anybody to operate like Saul did. It was not God's will for the Pharisees and the Sadducees to work against Jesus. And it was not his will for them to go to hell. He wanted them to repent. He would have rather for them to repent. Jesus, he said things so that maybe they, perhaps they'd repent. And if you want to know how deep the love of God runs, you got to read Ezekiel. The Lord told Ezekiel that they're not going to hear you, but prophesy my word anyway. in case they might. You can't go to heaven doing evil like that. It's not going to happen. In order for the Lord to get you in heaven, you got to repent. Saul would have had to repent and not go backwards. We saw him repent a few times. He said he wasn't going to kill David. Then he went back on his word. When you operate in fear, if you don't get rid of fear, fear will get rid of you. If you don't get rid of pride, you're going to work evil and you're going to end up dead. So, with all that in mind, I just said, well, I hate the spirit of pride. And it's true, I don't like it. At first, I never really liked pride anyway. But when I knew what pride could do to a person, and it can change your perception, I started speaking that I hate it so that I never would love it. Not out of fear, but out of faith. I learned from the Lord, never leave anything to happenstance. In the 80s, when Jimmy Swaggart fell and Jim Baker got in trouble and they did things they should not have, and they went around that time, the enemy was trying to tempt me with women. And it was very satanic, because wherever I went, women acted crazy. They flirt. And that never happened until the Lord called me to the ministry. And I learned not to leave anything to happenstance. Some women can tempt you heavier than others. But the ones that were anybody that tried it, I would do the same thing. I would say, Satan, you can't tempt me with her, and you can't tempt her with me. Even if I wasn't tempted. Because you don't leave things to happenstance. If you leave things to chance, things can go wrong. You have to kill sin and hate everything about it. And I was every time that he would try something, he'd have women try something, I would speak against it by my faith and kill it until it was not alive in me, until it was just a dead temptation. And it was true. And as I did that, I got stronger. And it didn't bother me like it did at first. And when it did bother me, I went and told the Lord. I said, Lord, this is bothering me. I don't know how to deal with this. That's how I pray. I pray like I talk. I don't say those long, educated, good-sounding prayers. That's foolishness to me. When you need to repent. I talk. When I'm in trouble, I don't do all that. I just tell God what I need and ask for help and believe him for it. And I expect the answer. I want him to show me what to do. I said, I don't want to give Satan the satisfaction. I want to wipe that nasty smile off his face. Help me do this. God loves us, and his love is rugged. He knows what we need, and he wants us to talk to him with faith, not educated, good-sounding prayers. He'd rather for us to, whatever we pray, whatever we need to do it in faith. Even if you use the elegant prayers, God don't care. He wants you to have faith. That's just the way I do it. You don't have to do what I do. But when I want results and answers, I talk like it. sometimes I sound mean even when I minister, and I am to Satan. I'm very mean to Satan. I don't like him, and he know it. And I don't want him around me. I don't even want to resemble anything about him when I'm in God's presence. Now, the spirit of Saul is still here. That's what we fight. The same demons that got on Saul to try to kill David. Anybody that loves the world, they'll begin to work mischief and see if they can go a little bit further over time. A little bit further over time, a little bit deeper. A little bit more hatred. So, and most people, a lot of people don't know that they can destroy the works of darkness. People seem to act like they got to live with it. You don't have to live with it. You don't have to endure it. You have to destroy it. And even though you can endure, you don't have to live an enduring, struggling life till Jesus come back. You know, kill the sin. Love the Lord, love his ways, love his word, love his people. No matter what they do, love them anyway. And then the Lord can, if you can do that, the Lord can train you. Because when you operate according to love, you simultaneously operate with more light. You have more light to see with. When you love people where they're at, your focus is going to remain on Jesus, and you'll begin to walk on water like Peter did, so to speak. Because anytime you believe in God, especially if it's something that you're not used to, something that's hard for you, something that you're new at, don't take your eyes off the Word of God, off Jesus. Now, you're not physically looking at him, but he's your focus. The spirit of the word, what is the word saying? That becomes your focus, not the pain, not the sickness, not the problem, not what other people are doing. All that's irrelevant. But your focus is on, because you're making change and progress. That's why the enemy stir people up to get to change your focus. If he can change your focus, you'll stop believing God, and he'll make your life even worse. And you'll live in a condition and die. You won't live as good. Your judgments won't be perfect. In order to make good decisions, you got to remain in the peace of God. You're still doing something against your problem. You know, you're still going to work every day doing things to solve whatever problems you have. But the Lord's going to show you options over time, what to do, how to do it, how to speak, what to say to people, how to do his will and keep them at bay. Your love doesn't have to change. Now, David did this. His eye was on the Lord. He was out there doing the work of a king, even though Saul was trying to kill him. Yeah, see, the Lord will help you navigate. He'll help you, and you're going to learn a wisdom you can't learn any other way unless you do this process, unless you trust him, trust his guidance. When the Lord speaks to you, trust his guidance. Last broadcast, we said something about I ended talking about how when people are believing God for something, and it may be new to them. All right. It's easier if you can focus on the Lord. And I talked about countermeasures. God gave us all sorts of countermeasures to help us in this life. A priest is a failsafe. They pray for you. Pastors is a failsafe. They pray for your life. They pray for you. All right. When you believe in God for something, it's best to tell praying people what's happening. This is why. Kenneth Hagin is known for healing people all throughout his ministry. He had a gift of healing. He healed people by faith. And that was a man that went to his church, and he died of cancer. But the family kept it a secret. They didn't tell anybody. And at his funeral, Kenneth Hagin, he got curious. He asked the Lord, why did this man die? He was a man that knew about faith. And the Lord said he waited too long to fight. Now, he was around people that would have believed God so that he could live. Now, sometimes Christians feel embarrassed if something bad happened to them, like they're not good enough. No, it doesn't work that way. We are good enough because we believed on the finished works of Jesus. That's the reason we're righteous, because we believed on him. That's all. We don't deserve none of this. We don't deserve to be healed anyway. It's not about what we deserve. It's not about how good we are. It's not about how prestigious we seem. All that is irrelevant. If you get sick, believe the Lord for your healing, because he provided it for you. And he needs you to be here healthy. You can win more souls if you're healthy. You can win even more souls if you got sick and you beat it. We want to win. We're in a fight. If we're on a battlefield and I'm a good soldier, you're a good soldier, and then I get shot, they blow my arm off. some people will look at me, I'm a hero. Now, who in the world would look down on me because I got my arm shot off? Nobody. In their right mind anyway. All right. When I tell people that you can be healed, there's a challenge with it. A challenge comes with it because I'm introducing them to knowledge that they can do something about their problem. Or they could have done something about what happened. If you ever feel sick, you can find your promises in the Word of God and speak it until it manifests healing in your life. Jesus already paid all the costs it takes for you to be healed. That's why there's no work involved. Because Jesus did the work. It's your job to believe what he did and receive it. But people get embarrassed if something happens to them. And they don't want people to look down on them. If something happens to me, I'm not going to be embarrassed because something happened to me. I'm just going to believe God's word and change the facts on where I'm at. I'm going to change the facts in my body. I'm going to change the facts in my house, among my children. I'm not going to let the enemy hurt my wife. Because now I know better. If I didn't know better, I'd do what I could do. I try to make them comfortable. But good people are dying because people have been taught wrong. And they've been taught by the spirit of Saul. You can trace it all the way back. The way Saul treated David is the way that some preachers preach. And instead of learning from the Lord and doing better and greater things, when they have struggles, they preach excuses. We don't have a right to do that. In other words, we don't have to live with Satan's foot on our neck. And if somebody struggles to believe, I'm not going to look down on that either. I just desire that they get healed. That's it. The love don't change. If the Lord gives them a word that's good, I'm going to hear it. Even if they struggle to get healed. That doesn't prove that they don't have faith. Just because one battle, they didn't win yet. If they get encouraged and they start training in the Lord, they're going to do good. The love of God never changes. His love doesn't change against people if they don't win. Psalm 16 talk about the death of his saints is precious to the Lord. Even if they die, like the man did, God loves him. He gets to live forever. He gets to enjoy heaven now. He's happier than I am. He won. His life is in heaven. But what we have to do is take God at his word. Preach his word without compromise. Without the spirit of Saul interference. Now King Saul tried to interfere. Let's look at chapter 31 in 1 Samuel. We're still following how Saul did David. Now the Philistines fought against Israel. And the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. And the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Melchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul. And the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor bearer, and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan, saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen upon Gilboa. And they cut off his head, and they stripped off his armor, and sent it into the land of the Philistines round about, to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor bearer in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, even in death Saul was trying to preserve his pride. He didn't want to die at that. He didn't want to be. I don't blame him for not wanting to be tortured. But you see how he died. All right. And later scriptures is going to talk about why he died, because he sought the witch. He would have lived longer if he hadn't done that. Verse 11 says, "And when the inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night, and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan, and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days." Now we'll be in chapter 1 of the second book of Samuel next time. But God loves us, and we need to be valiant and do the works of God. We have a right to be. A high price was paid for our victory, and we need to walk in that same victory. Now, till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our